I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm Jack Rathbourne, your host, and I'm joined as always by Grant James and Will Dubay. We're going to go through the game tonight. Chelsea salvaging a point at West Brom, but to be frank, it was a catastrophe in that first half for Chelsea. A 3-0 deficit and a performance that was littered with individual errors that left Lampard absolutely furious is the only way to describe it. Grant, what are your immediate reactions to that? I mean, it shouldn't be forgotten just how dreadful that performance was. And then the second half, they did wake up and they managed to salvage a point against a pretty poor West Brom team that continues to concede many goals.
Yeah, I found it quite surreal watching it. I felt kind of numb, as opposed to being angry and shouting at the screen. I couldn't really believe what I was watching. But yet, I kept saying to you guys on our WhatsApp chat that I just had a feeling we'd win 5-3 or 6-4 or something. Just because even in the first 3 minutes before we conceded, we looked quite sharp the way we're moving the ball. Even though our shape was a bit strange and we weren't necessarily getting it into the final third players the way we wanted to, we were like zipping it around between our fullbacks and our midfielders quite decently. It was strange. Even right to the end, I just thought we'd win. And it wasn't like I was on the edge of my seat. I was really calm. It was a really strange experience to watch. And I just think in many ways, it felt a bit like the Sheffield United game last season where we were 3-0 down, playing against the back three and just not really having any real ideas of how to get the ball into our front players with their centre-back so tight to our attackers. And I just think if we're certain a team's going to be playing a back three in future, like West Brom have done this whole season, we seem to be much more comfortable matching up and just letting our quality shine through, like in the individual battles. It was a crazy first half, and I don't think I've got my head around it completely yet. So I'll probably let you guys give your sort of opinions on just how catastrophic it was, and then kind of come in on that.
Yeah, I think it should be mentioned quickly before we do go in hard on some of the negatives of this game. The finishing from Callum Robinson was pretty impressive. Some clean strikes, and then in the second half you saw three academy products basically haul the team back from the brink. You saw Mason Mount showing some character with the first goal, and then Callum Hudson-Odoi in a difficult moment showing that he has got that individual quality, but he stuck pretty stringently to the game plan of sticking wide. And the way that he followed his run for the second goal with the combination with Havertz, I think that was a really impressive move. And then obviously Tammy showing quite an impressive instinct in and around the 6-yard box to follow that in for the rebound. And we can go into whether that should have stood or not. But straight to you, Will, what are your immediate reactions of this performance? And is it all doom and gloom?
I thought we actually started the game quite well. We looked quite sharp in possession. We're moving it quickly. I think we're talking about a lack of identity, but I think there's obviously a lot of emphasis that Frank puts on moving the ball quickly, trying to get it through the lines quickly. There was some good stuff early on, but I just think we always talk about the balance, and obviously Frank's put it on individual errors, which obviously there were far too many individual errors last season, and there were far too many individual errors in this game. But I just think sometimes you have to build a system that can allow for a couple of individual errors in a game. You know, it shouldn't be every time that there's an individual error in your own half or a player makes a mistake that it leads to a big chance. And you know, especially last season when that was happening, it would lead to a big chance, and the goalkeeper's so out of form and making, you know, a lot of mistakes, we were getting punished. I think they flashed up a stat that, you know, we've conceded more goals away from home than any other team from the start of last season, including Norwich. So, I mean, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. I just think Frank, has still not found a way of playing and a balance. And we've spoken about the balance in midfield, but just more generally, I think it's kind of just having the common sense to leave more players behind the ball to protect yourself against transitions. I mean, there's times when we, especially away from home, I think it's just kind of the general consensus that away from home, you're a little bit more solid. You kind of feel your way into the game a little bit more. Maybe less so in a game like this where West Brom were obviously sitting in really deep and maybe we had to commit a few more players forward. But I just think we often, at times, at times early on in that first half today, we had three players behind the ball, the two centre-backs and Kovacic. And we had Kante ahead of the play. Kovacic has no kind of positional sense defensively. He's not good at defending big spaces and transitions. And then you've got a 36-year-old Thiago Silva. And, you know, that's not excusing the individual mistakes that, you know, he gets caught in the ball. And I think that one, whatever kind of system you've built, you're going to get caught out. It's going to lead to a big chance. But I just think the Alonso chance, it's a header. He gives it away, but it's not necessarily an error that should lead to a goal. I just think the main thing I'm hoping that Frank eventually learns, but this has been rumbling on for a while now, is that you need to just find more balance in terms of who you're committing forward and who you're leaving behind the ball in away games. And I think, to be honest, all the bodies we seem to send forward, sometimes it can congest the play even more. And you've got some of these really good attacking players and sometimes they want a little bit more space to operate in. So for me, that's the concern. And I think Grant sort of alluded to the struggles we've had against playing with teams that play with a back three or a back five, that it becomes, we sort of seem like we run out of ideas. But to be honest with you, I didn't think it was going to be an issue. I thought early on we looked like we had the right approach to break that system down. But I don't know. I think it's just we're seeing a pattern. We're seeing the same kind of issues with the shape. And I just really hope that Frank can learn from it, because I think regardless of all the players that we've brought in, unless that's addressed, you know, we're going to come unstuck, you know, throughout the season, really.
Yeah, I think there is some room to criticise Lampard in terms of what he's done so far this season, particularly today. But I think other managers would have been praised for sort of the immediacy of like changing it. And obviously two changes at the break. I mean, it's hard to not make changes at 3-0, but to bring on Aspilicueta and Hudson-Odoi, I thought was really telling. And he's called out a lot of the individual errors, but one thing that was telling I found in his summation of the game was he said we needed speed into the team, passing it, Callum in one-on-ones, things he needs to do and can do because of his talent. He made a huge difference. I think that is pretty telling. Like, he, and you mentioned it as well, he wants pace, not just in terms of the speed of the players, but in the way that Chelsea move the ball. And I think that without Pulisic and without Hudson-Odoi to this stage in the form that is enough to warrant a place in the team, I think that Chelsea team has lacked a little bit of that pace to sort of just move it quicker. And in that second half, I did think that Hudson-Odoi was pivoting off James quite nicely. He was overlapping, underlapping, pushing it back inside. And I just think the way that Chelsea can get some success and maybe rediscover that style is to use that speed, but maintain that sort of that pass and move element, but know that you have individuals capable of ripping up plan A and going more to like one-on-one battles. So yeah, Grant, what is your greatest concern moving forward, and how do you see Lampard sort of solving this? Because next week is actually, well, it's a monumental week. You look at Tuesday, you see Carabao Cup game, a London derby against Tottenham, who, for all their mistakes or the concerns on how they started last week's game, they do look like devastatingly ruthless in that final third with Son and Kane at the moment. And I mean, you can't help, if you're a Spurs fan, be excited by the inclusion of Bale and what he can bring. And you know that Mourinho will get them organised. So that's a challenge. You've then got the Champions League draw on Thursday, which we know from last season's tournament that Chelsea struggled at times in that group stage and perhaps were somewhat fortunate to escape from that group. So that is going to be really interesting to see whether Chelsea get fortunate in the draw or whether Lampard is going to be under pressure from the get-go in that group stage to get out of that. So how do you see him solving whatever you think is the biggest issue moving forward?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think against Spurs and against Palace, we're going to find that counter-attacking threat is going to be... I mean, you've seen how Palace broke it against United, just leaving the two centre-backs there. And I think Lampard's going to have to compromise slightly on the setup, at least a very basic one fullback forward at a time. So you have three men back to actually protect in your rest defence. I think the thing is that when we play with just our two centre-backs and Kante in front, we've generally defended counter-attacks relatively well, certainly much better than with Jorginho sitting in front or Kovacic sitting in front. Because Kante's got so much energy, he's saving it all. He's behind the ball already and he can cover horizontally across the pitch to stop those breaks. So I think in the short term, to get through these couple of games, it has to be Kante as the holding player. Also, because it's a busy schedule, we want him to play all these games and not break down against Spurs or Palace and then be missing him. It's a slightly easier role for him to play the full game. So in the short term, I'd say get midfield balance with Kante playing there. The other concern is that it was my concern before the season, but for all we had a good season last year, we didn't really build a unit in any part of the field or a partnership in any part of the field that we could actually carry forward. I think the James Hudson-Odoi partnership is one of the few on, you know, anywhere on the pitch that actually looks like they understand each other and can actually play off each other quite well. But we had a new centre-back pairing today. And we had a new centre-back pairing in midweek. Alonso and his left winger have never really built any relationship. He's never built a relationship with any of the players in front of him. I think possibly the Mount Barkley in midfield sort of built a bit of an understanding as, you know, as the two tens. But generally, you can't just fall back on something that works, like, you know, two or three players that will link up well in a little, you know, sort of group tactics. So that's my concern, that we... Also, because of the Spurs game, I was saying, you know, for Spurs, you have to play your pretty close to your best side with a bit of rotation. But then just thinking about it, that basically means you have to play Kante and maybe Werner and Azpilicueta. The rest of the side's pretty much for muchness. You could say, well, you know, it's not really any weaker to play, you know, if it's going to be Mount or Barkley or whatever it's going to be, or Abraham or Giroud. You know, the team's on such a similar level that I think with every performance like this, we kind of get further away from finding a settled team, because Lampard's forced to change it now again. Maybe we have two or three changes at the back again in the week, and then another couple on the weekend if we lose. So that's my concern, that we're not, like, even if we do know what Lampard wants to do in his style in terms of moving it quickly and pressing high, that's his ideal, even though he's gone away from that in many games. I don't think we know, we're not really building the relationships around the pitch that you need to actually make that function. So that's probably my biggest concern. And I think you have to look short term. To get through this week, you have to put Kante in front of the defence, try and win at Spurs, be a bit more conservative, have more experienced players on the pitch. I mean, the fact that Thiago Silva captained the team on his Premier League debut, it just shows there were literally no other options. I mean, it probably would have been Kante, and I mean, he's not a leadership figure. So I think we're really missing something just in terms of that. And also, Thiago Silva was playing with Christensen, so we didn't get that, you know, the language that he would have with Zuma, be able to speak French. So I think that's the issue, that we don't have the chemistry between players and that understanding.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think you look at trends, and under Lampard, there have been 21 Premier League away games and, 20 games without a clean sheet in that run. I think it says a lot from our perspective, just in terms of setup. And I think you are going to have to see Chelsea being a little bit more conservative, a bit more pragmatic. And it's difficult to understand why he won't at least use a smallish sample size with Kante in front of the back four, because there's clearly an element of trust or a lack thereof with Jorginho in that pivot role. Kovacic, I think, is constantly struggling to find his ideal role, because he obviously becomes a bit more of a luxury player in there, because if you want to maximise that talent in that final third, then you're going to have to make some sacrifices. And I think Kovacic perhaps is going to have to play within himself a little bit. But yeah, certainly I think Kante has to revert to that role, because until there is a new player that's brought in, we know that Declan Rice is being talked about a lot. But my point on Rice is that clearly a very good player, and I think crucially is Lampard's choice, which I think you cannot overstate enough, because you look at the signings that Chelsea have made this summer, and I think perhaps Chilwell counts in the same category, but it feels like a lot of them have been club signings or signings from the team or the analysis side behind. So if Lampard wants Rice, that's all well and good, but at somewhere approaching 80 million, could they not discover somebody at half that price? And if they're not willing to spend 80 million, but they are willing to spend 50 million on Rice, that's money that you could go and get a number of options elsewhere. You look at all around Europe, pretty much nobody would be off limits at that price. So I'm struggling to understand why, Will, you would imagine Chelsea are so stubborn on getting Rice in, even though there is that lure of an ex-academy player. He's England international, so he can build a little bit of the identity that Lampard, well, build it more easily, shall we say, that he wants to see from this side. But it's such an awful lot of money, and given it's such a priority, do you think that there needs to be more urgency in addressing the area away from Rice?
Now, I'm a big fan of Rice, and I think there seems to be a bit of a shift in Chelsea's strategy, transfer strategy. On the whole, this summer, I think when we've got a first target, I think the emphasis is to get that first target, a little bit like Werner, Havertz. And yeah, I think he kind of fits into the same category as a Havertz, obviously different position, maybe not got that standing in kind of world football, but I think they just think it's a outstanding young player, homegrown player. And I think that, you know, they see this as an opportunity to bring someone like that in. I don't know. I mean, I think there's some quotes attributed to Frank with regards to Rice about him playing at centre back. I've watched a lot of Rice and under 23 level, and for the most part at that level he played as a centre back, and I thought he was probably the outstanding centre back when I was sort of scouting that level of football. And I definitely think that that's probably his best position. I think he kind of finds it quite easy to play centre back because it's all in front of him, and I think he reads the game so well. But I think he's actually deceptively really dynamic. And I think they think that he can also play in midfield because he's quite powerful. He's a good athlete, can get up and down the pitch quite well. And I think even with West Ham, for the most part, he plays in a two, and he's actually got license to kind of get up and down. He's not sitting at the base. So when we were talking about signing him to address the balance in the side, I think for West Ham, he doesn't really play that role. You know, a lot of the time it's Suchek, is it? Sometimes behind the ball, and Rice is kind of getting forward. And so I don't know. I don't know exactly when we're signing Rice, exactly what the plan is for him. He could certainly play that sitting role, and he can certainly cover the ground a lot better. He's got really good defensive instincts. He could play that role a lot better than, say, Kovacic plays it for us. But I just think we've got Kante. I completely agree with Grant. We've got Kante. And he's coming into his 30s now. He's had a long career. There's a lot of minutes on those legs. We know he's had injury problems. And for me, when he plays behind the ball in front of the back four and we play a 4-3-3, we have much greater balance. It allows us to get in two 8/10s into the team. I mean, today we finally got the Havertz and Mount in front of Kante system that I think a lot of people had as their kind of preferred 11. Going into the season. And we look more comfortable because Kante's just, you know, you're talking about like a genius in terms of like how well he reads the game, how well he snuffs things out. And he can play that position in his sleep. Like it's an easy position for him to play. And you saw today we had wave after wave of attack, and that was down to Kante just kind of reading things, getting to balls first, and West Brom could never get up the pitch because he just reacts so quickly. He anticipates things so quickly, and Kovacic doesn't have that in his locker. So for me, that's how I would play. I mean, I think it's not necessarily getting the best out of Kante, but I think this kind of weird double pivot where Kante plays further ahead than Kovacic, a lot of the time Kante's receiving the ball in the similar areas than that he received it when he played under Sarri, you know, in this kind of high up, congested, kind of wide area, and he's just not comfortable doing that. But if we play him behind the ball and you play two attacking eights and tens, the teams will inevitably just sit off and he's going to have loads of time. He's not going to be pressed. And his use of the ball when he's not pressed and he can sit in front of him is actually really good, Kante. He switches the play quickly, can find little passes. He's good at just like opening up little angles and finding passes. He manipulates the ball really well in those instances. So that's how I would play. I think people are reluctant to do that because they think of Kante as this kind of like covering every inch of the pitch sort of player. And he is that. But I think the way our squad profile is, we need to try and build a system that basically, you know, just gets the best from the group we've got. And we're overloaded in the 8-10 region and we're not spoiled for choice for sixes. So, you know, that's how I would build the side. But Frank seems determined to play this kind of strange pivot where Kovacic or Jorginho sit behind the ball. And all that happens is we just get murdered every game in transitions. And it's just, he doesn't seem to be learning from stuff that I think is quite obvious, and we've seen it for a long time now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that solves a lot of problems. I think it doesn't restrict Kante nearly as much as some people might believe when you play him in that role. I think he's much better on the ball than people give him credit for. And even though he's shown under Sarri and a little bit under Lampard the way that he can operate quite effectively in a box-to-box role, I'd like to see him get on the ball more, like you said, Will. And I think that certainly can plug a gap. But one issue that is almost a twofold question to you, Grant, is how do you see Timo Werner settling in right now? I think three games now, it's no real drama that he hasn't scored yet. But he hit the bar in the first half. But I think somewhat jaded compared to his first couple appearances for Chelsea. But today, obviously, playing from a wide left position, and you saw Abraham definitely drag some of that form from the Barnsley game into this game. Maybe not completely, because the connection with Kai Havertz wasn't quite there today. But I think Abraham definitely has something to offer in the immediacy as a starter, which means Timo Werner playing a little bit from the left. Moving forward, do you think that is certainly how Lampard will look to accommodate him and, as a result, obviously, Abraham? But if you do that, then is there now an even greater burden on somebody like Mason Mount to sort of support him in wide areas and make sure that Chelsea can recycle out wide through Mount? Because if you've got Werner, Abraham, and then you would presume at some point Pulisic coming back in on that right side, but maybe for the time being, Hudson-Odoi deserves a shot. Even more so if you've got Abraham in the side and Werner playing off the left, you really would need some out and out whip there. So I'd like to throw it to you in terms of like how do you see the knock on effect of both Tammy playing through the middle, shifting Werner wide, and the consequences for Mount, Hudson-Odoi, and maybe someone else?
Yeah, I mean, when Werner signed, I hoped he'd play wide because I think you do need that focal point in the Premier League for him to battle centre-backs all game and have his back to goal. It's not going to be easy. But of course, some teams that play high line, he's going to be ideal to play up front. I just think Alonso and Werner on the left for an away game against wing-backs and then an inside forward who's got quite a lot of license to attack in front of that wing-back, I just think it's an absolute recipe for disaster. I mean, Werner doesn't want to come back and defend. Alonso's very slow to recover and needs a lot of space behind him. And Alonso can't combine, so it doesn't work well either. And I think with Azpilicueta behind him, as we had in previous years with Azpilicueta at left back and Hazard with a lot of freedom in front of him. I think that would work better with him as a wide forward. I think maybe in certain home games, Alonso behind Werner could work, where, you know, teams are really, really pinned in and Alonso's extra goal threat could be useful. But I said last week that I think Alonso's about to vanish off the scene completely, because to have four fullbacks and rotate them all just has, you know, leads to so much disruption to the side. And James, Chua and Aspi are going to be the three foremost fullbacks, and Azpilicueta can easily switch sides for different games. Then you have three for two spots and everyone keeps happy with the game time. Alonso had a couple of games like tonight last season. The one was against United in the Carabao Cup where he gave away that penalty. He was actually brilliant before that, and then he had that game and Frank kind of just had him out the picture for a while after that. And then he had that game against West Ham where he was blamed for the winner. And again, he was dropped after that for a couple of games. And we know at the start of the season, Emerson was Lampard's first choice left back. He clearly didn't fancy Alonso. So I've got a feeling Alonso, I'd be pretty surprised if he starts a game literally for the next 2 months, because we have three players who can play those roles. And I think that's how it's going to be going forward. And I think when you have slightly more dynamic and speedy fullbacks, then you can maybe carry Werner defensively ahead of that. I mean, today he was drifting everywhere. He was barely playing on the left. In the second half, he was more of an actual winger. I don't think he was had the most effective game. And actually, watching, I was thinking a bit of Pulisic last season. You know, Lampard took him out of the firing line and he came back after three or four games on the bench and was on fire. And I don't think you can do the same with Werner, because he's slightly more established and older and a bigger transfer fee. But I think it shows just how much credit Pulisic deserves for adjusting so quickly to the Premier League. He had two or three games of, you know, looking completely out of place, and then suddenly he was perfect in the league. I think that's huge credit to him. I think Werner and Havertz are going to take a bit of time, because obviously Havertz is tall and he's, you know, you can use his body well, but you wouldn't say they're players who can protect the ball. And probably today, the thing I was the most frustrated by was like shouting for them to just protect the ball, because anytime they got it in tight spaces, they just, you know, just got nicked off them and they got bumped off it. They didn't have that Premier League awareness to get their arms out and draw the foul. So I think it's going to take a little while for them to get adjusted. And when you have those two as two of your front four, then things can break down quite a lot, like they did today. You know, Emre lost a few duels with Barkley when he was getting tight to him. And I think only Mount really was impressive of the attackers in that first period. Just twisting and turning, finding little passes and linking up nicely. He set up the chance, was it the one for Werner? I think that we at the bar. I think that was Mount. I think James did the one for Tammy. So I just think they're going to take a little while to settle, and it's going to be moving around, trying to figure it out. I don't think it would be a huge deal to, let's say, put Werner on the bench against Spurs and give him 30 minutes at the end and let him just come on against a tired backline and just, you know, create trouble that way. And let his process be a little bit slower, because there's an international break coming up, so you just kind of adjust at your own speed.
Yeah, I think you make some good points. Will, just finally on the West Brom game, anybody you want to pick out, both positively or negatively? And also, I think it's worth touching on the role Havertz played in the Abraham equaliser. Some suggestion that he may be handled, but I think certainly on the British broadcast, BT Sport, they suggested that under the new rules, it would definitely not have been a handball because of how much the play developed thereafter. Anything else you want to add on this game?
I think Havertz is showing me more that he could probably play in that midfield three that I think I sort of tipped him to play in at the start of the season. I think defensively he's pretty switched on. I think he tracks back, he shows good desire to get back in, and he actually wins the ball quite a lot. He gets his foot in and nicks the ball off of opponents. So I think he could play in that position with Mount. I think another positive, the main positive for me was Mason Mount again. I think he was really good again, playing obviously on the right. He's mostly played on the left, but I thought he was really good. I think he had some kind of teething problems playing in the Premier League at the start of last season, protecting the ball, similar to how Grant described Werner and Havertz's issues we've seen in some of the games, just turning the ball over. I think Werner was probably guilty of that even more so than Havertz today. But Mount now looks like safe as houses in possession. And when you consider his frame and his stature, I think that's really impressive. His feet are so quick. He's just really good at kind of sort of good balance with his back to goal. Can sometimes do that kind of Hazard thing where he steps to go one way and does the outside turn and goes the other way. So he just looks like he's getting better and better. And he's becoming, you know, Grant sort of said earlier on, you know, pick our strongest team. Who is that at the moment? You know, you could only probably say Kante and a few others, but I think Mount's probably staking a claim at the moment to be, you know, one of the first names on the team sheet, which is, I don't think you would have said that at the start of the season when you consider all of the attacking players we've signed. It's going to be so difficult for Frank to keep all of these players happy, even with the schedule. You know, we're talking about Pulisic, who I think most Chelsea fans would say he's probably our most important player, most important attacking player now. Once he comes back, how does Werner fit in? If Tammy's still playing well, what do you do? Is Werner going to have to sit on the bench? Is Pulisic going to have to play on the right where he's not as effective? He's more effective on the left. Ziyech comes in. How do you fit Ziyech? It's just, I think there's almost too many good players, and we've seen that can be an issue sometimes. And it's just who we back, who we go with, because I think it is unsustainable. I think by January time, we will have to sell at least one of these players, these attacking players. A little bit like the first season when Mourinho came back, and I think in January we sold De Bruyne and we sold Mata and we signed Salah in that January. And then we eventually sold Salah. So we kind of made all the wrong decisions with those players. So it'll be interesting to see what we do. I do think it's unsustainable, and it's just going to be interesting to see how Frank manages it, whilst also trying to build an identity and a style of play.
Yeah, I think definitely he has to prioritise in terms of be almost selfish and start to rediscover that style of play and find his best 11. But you're right, it's going to be difficult to keep everybody happy, and that can be toxic, as we know. And today, I think it was interesting how he sacrificed Thiago, brought on Giroud, Grant, that final substitution. And then if we throw it forward now towards Spurs on Tuesday, just in terms of that two at the back, I'm still unclear on what's happened to Zouma, but Christensen almost had a big chance today. Tomori, unlucky not to be included. So, yeah, on those two issues, where do you see Tuesday unfolding?
Yeah, just starting with the last sub. I mean, yeah, the two subs at the break, I think that worked really well. I don't think Kovacic was terrible in the first half in on the ball, but the amount of space that we were leaving in that midfield was massive. So that the changes worked really well, and Callum was good. And I wanted Giroud to come on because James was putting in so many good deliveries. We were getting these little overloads up the sides. Callum finding James to cross from either wide or from narrow positions. And we bring Giroud on for Thiago Silva. And I didn't think actually it was a bad change to take Thiago Silva off, because just about 5 minutes earlier, I kind of noticed him having a couple of issues against Robson Kanu. He just looked a little bit spent defending so high up the pitch. My change was actually just to go for Tomori and just really like live on the halfway line and just, you know, have everything they clear just come straight back constantly. But when you bring Giroud on and then go to a back three with James going into the right centre-back position and then Werner on the right, you basically take away the service you had for that you'd want someone like Giroud to attack in the first place. And then I think in the last maybe 10 minutes, he dropped Kante into the back three, just had Mount in midfield, and then had James wide, and then at least we had that threat again, but we didn't have the chance to actually get any good deliveries for Giroud. So he had very little impact. And we've seen Giroud throughout his career be an amazing impact sub when you get balls in the air towards him late on. So I think that was a waste. That didn't work. I get the principle behind it. I just think if Thiago was spent, then would have been better to get a fast player like Tomori on, or get Giroud on maybe for Werner and just, you know, just go without, you know, sort of maybe have Tammy slightly wider or have it playing from the right, and then just have that box presence. As for Spurs, I don't know what's going to happen at the back. You know, we beat Spurs twice last year playing a back three, and Mourinho really had no answer for that in the first league game. with his narrow, his narrow left back as a left centre back in the build up, and no one really to engage our right wing back. So I think to win that game, I would go to a back three. It's an away game. We have an extra rest day over Spurs. So I would probably go with Tomori, Zuma, Fitz, and Azpilicueta. Obviously, last year we had Tomori, Zuma, and Rudiger, and they were just, so strong and so fast against Kane and Son and whatever, and they just didn't really get a great deal of chances. But obviously Rudiger seemingly on his way out. I would probably go SP, Zuma, and Tomori as a back three, and then have Chilwell and James as the wing backs. I don't see Alonso playing that game. And then further forward, I'm sure we'll discuss separately. But I know you during the game. I knew during the game Will was very upset with Christensen, so I'm quite keen to hear what he says on him. And what he could have done differently on the goals, because, some strange defending, the way he's kind of positioned himself, covering, over-covering, and not being able to cut out the pass on his blind side. I mean, I'm quite keen to hear what Will has to say on that.
It was crazy. I could see as soon as we gave the ball away, you could see the guy, who was it over the far side who scored, the Ngana, and you could just see we had three players pressing the ball, putting pressure on the ball. All he had to do was shift across a yard. He just has to look behind him, just a couple of looks over the shoulder, look behind him, see to his right-hand side. All he's got to do is cut that pass off. And he doesn't have to give up the middle zone, the area protecting the goal. He doesn't have to give that up. He just has to shift, half a yard, just cut that pass off. And then the guy who's being pressed has nowhere to go. It's not like he's got two players catching up with him. It's not panic stations where you've got to make a decision to, go and press the ball. It was such poor defending, and I know, I said earlier, I think, you build a system so you can afford mistakes. But for me, we were fine there. We didn't have to. It wasn't an issue. It was such a simple bit of defending that I think a defender with good instincts just steps across half a yard and they cut that pass off. And then he can't make that pass and make that pass into the box and give it to a tricky player 1v1. He just has to get out of his feet, shift it half a yard and get a shot on goal. But then after that, Christensen had a good game. He looked really comfortable, really slick in the channels, reading everything really well, looking really classy, composed on the ball, using it well. So, I mean, I don't know. The guy just drives me mad, because there's a really good defender in there. And I think, last season, I think it was City after the restart, the one where we won at the Bridge. He was great. He was fantastic. But he's just always got these mistakes in him. And I just don't know how many of these mistakes he has to make before Frank, doesn't show faith in him. I don't know whether part of the reason today is he thought that, they were going to sit off. We'd have loads of the ball. And Christensen does move the ball quite well from that right centre-back position up the line. But for me, Tomori does that just as well. I think the last couple of games when Tomori's come on and played in that right centre-back role, you've seen real aggression with his passing to move the ball. So I don't really know what Frank sees in Christensen over Tomori in that right centre-back position. I think for me, if we're going to play this quite, really attacking football, committing a lot of players forward, then at least if you're going to only leave... if you're only going to leave three players back, which for me is lunacy, but if you're going to do that, then have Kante behind the ball in that holding position and have Zuma and Tomori. And at least that way you feel completely secure and not completely secure, but you feel more secure in transition than having a 36-year-old Thiago Silva and Kovacic, who is not a defensive midfielder. So I think for me, it was a little bit of a strange selection, but, yeah, I agree with Grant. I think that's how the side will look up until the attacking areas on Tuesday. I think he'll go to a back three, and I think that'll be the back three, Tomori and Zuma in and Aspi on the right. I think he might put Jorginho in. Maybe Jorginho and Kante. Don't know, possibly. And then the front three, I'm not sure. Although I don't know, because I think, Barkley's probably due a game. So it's quite difficult to pick the rest of the side, really.
I think you can see Mount probably coming out, deserving a bit of a rest, but then Mason Mount always plays, so who can say? But yeah, I think you're right. That back three looks solid. I think I would definitely on the side of caution and use Caballero again midweek, and then look to make Mendy the number one the next weekend. And then you're right, the wing backs, I think you can trust Chilwell, even though he's only played once, to come in on that left side. James can play wing back, which might afford him a bit more freedom. And then you're right, I think that two in the midfield is a little bit up for grabs, because he's going to have to get the right combination for the game and then also the right combination to sort of rotate. I think you have to trust Barkley in that situation. He's done enough now to get another opportunity, at least. Somewhat unlucky, I thought, today to perhaps not play. And so I definitely see him coming into that team. And if it's in a two, then it has to be Kante, I think, playing again, which maybe is a concern given the amount of games he might have to play beforehand after the restart. We know that at some point the workload was too much and he becomes a bit of a risk there. But you're right, in that front three, for me, it will be, I think it'll be Abraham again. I think you'll look at, I think Hudson-Odoi has to start now. He's shown enough and he played well last midweek. And then, yeah, you're looking for one more. And I think Frank just needs to blend the relationship between Werner and Abraham when he plays those two. So I'd look to see Werner, Abraham, and then Hudson-Odoi from the right, which, I mean, it's going to look odd leaving out Havertz at times for big games, but I think there's no alternative really. At some point, all these players are going to have to miss out. And yeah, and Grant, what do you think about that? Is that alarming to you, the omissions that I've made there, or is it you look at Havertz, you look at Mount coming out, Jorginho, Kovacic, too much, or how do you fit them in?
Yeah, for me, it's a must-win game because it's Spurs and it's a chance to try and get a trophy and so forth. And so obviously it's difficult to balance between your very best side and a few guys that deserve a game, because we've spoken about how big the squad is. We can't exactly not take this chance to actually give some game time. I'm not too keen on Kovacic or Jorginho partnering Kante if we're playing a back three. So, I mean, something Frank hasn't done before. I'd go with the back three and the wing backs. I'd have Kante holding and I'd have Mount and Barkley as two tens. And then you have a chance to play a front two. So I'd have probably Werner and Abraham. And I know Hudson-Odoi misses out then, but I think you could probably get away with that if you let him know he's playing in the Premier League game over the weekend. Palace may be sitting back a bit more and you need that width to break them down. I think that side will work really nicely. You still, when you're attacking, you've got your back three and Kante to guard those counters. You can get Chilwell and James pretty high up. Barkley and Mount can join in the attack as well. So you've got a really like a front four. And I think it can give quite a lot of problems for Spurs. And I think Barkley and Mount possibly pushing onto their two deeper midfielders, where that be Winks and Sissoko or whoever, or Højbjerg, depending on how he sets up, if he's fit. You can stop their ball up a bit there. And I think Werner playing in a two with the chance to run the channels and not really have any real defensive responsibilities, I think that would work really nicely. And then you give Havertz a bit of a break, and I don't mind that because this is the London derby, quite a big game, and you don't want to maybe have... I'm not really inclined to play both the new attackers just for this sort of big occasion. I'd rather have, just the one new signing starting in Werner, and you've got Havertz on the bench as coming on as a 10 in midfield, or if he's changing the shape. I think that side is really nice. I don't think there's any particular weaknesses. We've got decent heights. You could possibly make an argument for Giroud and Werner playing up front. The fact that Giroud, he needs a game at some point, and you would think that this Carabao Cup game would be their chance. I just think with the movement you want in your front two in a 3-5-2, you'd want mobile players. So I'd say Tammy and Werner. That's the side I'd go for, and I think that would cause Mourinho some problems trying to deal with those two tens and the wingbacks. But we have to win. I don't know about Mendy. I agree with you that Caballero is a safer choice, and he does seem to be the cup goalkeeper. But he did play the league game, so it's not as if he's not getting his game time that you've promised him. And it's difficult because it's a tough occasion for Mendy to go in, and if he were to make an error, the pressure immediately builds on him. Will mentioned he needs a good start, just like a solid clean sheet game, one or two decent saves, a couple of nice catches, and it will confidence build. But I would be tempted to play him because, especially with the back three with Zuma in the middle, you know, that's pretty solid. And I think we're playing a bit more defensively. We're playing a bit deeper, or you know, a bit more compact. He's going to be claiming a lot of crosses, and I think this could be a good game for him. But I do think Caballero will play. Hopefully, he doesn't play Kepa. Now Kepa's become the cup keeper or something. Let's pray for that. So that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I like that. I think, you agree with me with Barkley coming in. Will you 3 out of 3 for Barkley in that midfield, or in terms of what's your combination there, and how do you see Lampard maybe experimenting with a 3-5-2 shape? I think it's certainly something specifically for Werner that's exciting.
He's not really done that, I don't think, at any point. I like Grant's team. He's sold me on that team, but I don't think Frank will go for that. I think Frank might go for 4-3-3, just to try and get some players in, to rotate some players in that haven't played. And I think that's what he'll go with. I think it will be Zuma and Tomori in. I agree. I think Caballero will play again, and then Mendy will come in at the weekend. And then I think it will be, Aspi and Chilwell, full-back areas. And I think he might go with Kante, because I think it worked quite well defensively in the West Brom game, and it has worked quite well. So I think he might want to see that again, Kante playing in that holding role. And then Barkley and Mount, which has also worked really well at times in those two 10 spots. I think Havertz will come out, sort of save for the weekend, but kind of not really saved for the weekend. I think he's kind of just rotated out. I don't think it's a great game for him because it can get a bit feisty, and we've seen he's not at the moment. He's still kind of acclimatizing to holding the ball up and in those congested areas. And then I think Callum will come in for the Tottenham game. Werner, I think, will play again, and maybe Giroud starts. I think that's what he'll go with. It's not necessarily what I would go with. I would lean more towards the kind of team that Grant said. I think that could cause them problems, and I think it goes a long way to kind of restricting them in what they do well. So it'll be interesting. I mean, trying to guess Frank's teams, as we said, is just like, it's impossible this season. I'm looking forward. It's always good. Tottenham, you know, it's exciting, even if there's no fans in there. But it'll be interesting to see how strong Mourinho goes. I've got a feeling he's going to go very strong, almost like their strongest 11. So Frank will have that in mind. But we've got a big squad, so you know, I don't think the quality of the squad really drops much if we rotate a fair bit.
Yeah, I think Spurs have got some pretty good depth now, quietly, despite the Mourinho moaning about lack of funds or whatnot. Yeah, you could almost look at the way that they behaved during the lockdown and the lack of funds they applied for a government loan. But yeah, they still managed to strengthen quite significantly. You look at the team they'll probably play, certainly for the Premier League. You look at Lloris, Doherty, Sanchez, Dyer. Dyer's playing a lot at centre-back now. I wonder what your thoughts are on him, whether that could be a weakness or not. Davies, and I think he's interchangeable now with Reguilón. And then Højbjerg, I think, is an excellent signing for them. Gives them some real structure to their midfield. And Winks can play almost as a more complementary midfielder in there. And then you look at Lo Celso coming in and out now, and another excellent player and some real good depth there. And then even if Bale's not ready, you've got Lucas or Bergwijn who can play alongside Kane and Son in a front three that's about as good as anything Chelsea will face for the time being, certainly. Are there any players, lastly, on this game before we wrap up, Grant, that strike fear into you at all? I mean, Son is...
Yeah.
He sort of stands out to me as somebody that could really hurt Chelsea in transition. Something that West Brom, despite their success in the first half, in the second half, I thought Chelsea were reprieved quite a lot in terms of the way West Brom's inability to hurt Chelsea in transitions. And I think Spurs obviously have much more firepower, much more potency to do that.
Yeah, I think Mourinho's going to... I think he'll go full strength because he's been playing almost full strength in the Europa League. In the first Europa League game, at least, I think he only rested one player. So I expect him to have his best side out there. I think he might go for like some of the, you know, his bastards. Like I think Lamela maybe will play on the right. And then you've got Lo Celso, you know, who should have been sent off last year with that Tara challenge on Azpilicueta. And I think he kicked Mount in the knee or something. Someone managed to get away with it. And then Højbjerg is a bit of a hatchet man. So I think they will pick, you know, a really kind of abrasive team. And I mean, like it or not, if we lose that game, you know, the sentiment, whether it's from, you know, idiots on Twitter or wherever else, there will be some, you know, negative Lampard sentiment. Because it's a massive game. And if we, yeah, we come out of the first four games with, a win against Brighton, you know, taking out the Barnsley game, but, you know, a couple of defeats and a couple of not so impressive performances, I think there will be more question marks. So I think Lampard will play strong, and I think he'll have to because of Spurs' strength. Yeah, Son will be a massive threat on the transitions. That's why I think playing slightly deeper, and last year we had, you know, that Rudiger, Zuma, Tomori had so much speed to cover that they didn't really create anything. Ideally, that's sort of backline you'd want for this game. You know, all physically strong, all quick, all pretty good in the duels. But I'm happy with Aspie there, as long as we don't have the same problems as in the FA Cup final, when it was just like Aubameyang against Aspie in that channel over and over again with the high line. So yeah, maybe James just being a bit more circumspect, maybe Barkley shuttling over there just to, just to make sure that James doesn't have to come out so much. They're a dangerous side. Like, I think he'll try and play it like he played against Leicester last year. You know, they had all the possession and they just destroy a 1-3-0 on the counter-attack. And the first goal is so big because, you know, if you score first, they have to come out and Mourinho has to change his plan. I just want to win. So hopefully they get a bit knackered after Sunday and, you know, have a tough game tomorrow and then have only, you know, 48-hour turnaround time where we can start really quickly, high intensity, and put them away.
Yeah, I think it really will be an exciting game and one for the neutrals that, I mean, will really stand out and something to prioritise for to watch on Tuesday. We'll be back on after Tuesday's game to review that. We'll also be taking a look forward to the Champions League draw on Thursday, and then there's obviously the Crystal Palace game. You can follow the pod on Twitter at PalpablePod. If you like what we do, you like the show, good way to support it. If you could leave a review on Apple, an iTunes review, 5 stars only, please. That would be excellent. And we'll be back next week. Oh, you can also follow the podcast on Facebook at Palpable Pod. And it's a pretty disastrous result for Chelsea today, but I think we've dissected it pretty well. And next week, I think it's a high-pressure situation, but you've seen last season Lampard's sides reacted pretty well at times to these high-pressured games. So, yeah, we look forward to analysing that Spurs game and throwing it forward to the Premier League again next weekend. Thank you for listening. We'll speak to you next week.